Hey guys, it's Cheapy D, and it is the end of day one here at E3 for the most part. And I'm here with Orban.
Hello again.
And Shipwreck.
Hi.
And blah, blah, blah. No, that was it. That's it. Just us three. So we're going to talk about what we saw today. And we started by watching the Nintendo, what are they calling that?
Treehouse.
So primarily they were showing the new Zelda game.
They showed
a little bit of Pokemon.
Right. Pokemon and Zelda.
That's it.
I hope you like Pokemon and Zelda, everyone. The Pokemon look fine. It looked like Pokemon. That's all sure, I can comment on that. Like, it's the same game every time, pretty much, right?
Yeah, it is.
Zelda, it does not look graphically up to par with the current video game standards.
I mean, we got back from the Sony thing, and then the textures are a little...
Right.
It's
a tough act to follow.
Yeah.
You got, like, all this detail on all the characters in these PlayStation games.
I don't even understand how the textures are so bad on this. It's not like the Wii U is that underpowered.
Mario Kart 8 looks amazing.
Right, you can make games look good on that. And I appreciate that there's an art style to Zelda, and that they have crafted this art style, but it looks like it's an art style that is designed to hide that they don't have textures.
They're missing some
textures
tech
and lighting. And yeah.
A ton of particles either.
Right, it just looks washed out to me. Like, I don't understand. You're highlighting a tree falling over to create a bridge, and when the tree crashes down, It looks like Minecraft. Yeah, all of the palm leaves on this tree, that's supposed to be a pine tree to begin with, but all of the branches just fly off. I'm sure it's really fun. There was long lines for it at E3.
Right, nobody seems to care who at the show.
No, that's the thing is, like, everybody cares about Zelda, but you just have to live with what Nintendo gives you. Like, there's no alternative to this situation.
Right. Yeah. All right, so that was that. Shipwreck put together this amazing He-Man puzzle that Thorbon bought for him at a garage sale for $1, which is basically a beautiful work of art, which he's going to frame after.
I'm pretty proud that I got all 300 pieces of it done in about half of the Nintendo press conference.
Yep.
I feel like I accomplished more than they did.
You were totally immersed. You did. You made art. I mean, I don't know that they made art with that press conference. Okay, so we did that, and then what happened? We went to see Mafia. That was our first appointment. No.
Yes.
So we saw Mafia 3, which takes place in the late 1960s fake New Orleans.
It's interesting that it's fake New Orleans. Is there a reason?
I think that there's just less pressure on them to deliver a realistic version.
Okay.
They can be inspired by all the parts of it, but then now you don't have to make that street look exactly...
Because they straight up say it's their version of New Orleans.
Right, and I'm sure they've taken all the actual districts or taken several...
I've been to New Orleans several times, it's recognizable. You have the French Quarter with the church.
Do they have any shirts with naked ladies and alligator heads and things like that, or...
I don't know if they had the tourist district.
Oh, okay. In the 60s. Yeah, it's late 60s.
Late 60s. I don't think that was there yet.
The main character is a black guy, which is Lincoln. Very, very unusual in a video game, a big video game.
Yeah, it's cool to see, I think.
I was surprised. I was really surprised. You just don't see it. That's cool. That's going to be really... I don't know. The game looks great. It has a lot of personality.
Personality. I think the world is really well developed. It's interesting. It sounds like it's going to have... Just from what they showed, it seems like it's going to have a great soundtrack.
Yeah, they got a great pool to draw upon.
Yeah, they had... So, you also have sub-bosses, like crime lords below you, which they showed three of them. I think there's only three to meet. Right.
Yep.
But you can kind of, I don't know, influence
the game. You're supposed to be building your own mob empire, right. And you have these guys that work under you, and you can decide who's going to control which section. And I don't know, I like the Mafia games, and this looks like a really good one so far.
In the demo they showed, one of the other bosses got pissed off because you weren't giving him enough land, basically.
Right, yep.
And there's different consequences.
It's good. It's going to be good.
Yeah,
it's going to be nice.
I think it is.
All right, then what happened? What do we do after?
We went to Alienware, and
we saw the hotness.
Yeah, they basically just showed us a whole bunch of computers that we wanted, and then
right
have left. To buy.
Right. they have a whole new product line coming out.
The new Alpha thing is an interesting thing. Like, so they revamped their Alpha, which is their tiny little box. Console box, yeah.
It's like the size of a Wii U, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, it's 8x8. But now they have this separate, graphics card box as
expansion
well.
Box, so if you want to put in a fat card...
You can put two fat cards in it.
You can run this cable to this little box, and now you have a little graphics card train.
Right. You put a power supply in there and connect it. And so you can put like a 1080 in this thing and connect it up to the Alpha.
Yeah.
It's weird because it sounds like it's great, but then at the same time, it's like, why are you just buying a full PC at that point?
Well, it's still going to be much smaller than
the four pack.
Even with that expansion, I mean, I think it's still going to be a lot smaller. So that was cool.
It's tempting. Like, you see those Alpha boxes, and you're like, this seems like a pretty easy way to PC game.
In your living room.
Right.
Yeah.
All
right.
Wombat, that's what Wombat needs.
Right. Send one to Wombat, Alienware. Get on that. All right, what else? What happened after that?
What else did we see?
Focus.
Oh, yeah, we went to Focus. We saw four games there. Farming Simulator 17?
Yep. Thorbon, how many copies of the last Farming Simulator game do you think Focus sold?
Not a lot.
5 million what? Copies.
Yes, 5 million copies.
Is this in Europe or Japan?
Who cares?
Well, what?
Money's money.
Right. I this is a series that fascinates me because people love it. Like, it's
go farm again.
They don't want to work for real. They want to work at their computer and play with their friends. And one guy drives the tractor, one guy drives the spreader. Is that something?
Yeah, that sounds like something. They've got trains in it.
I don't know if you know this, but everybody's ancestor sooner or later was a farmer because you needed to eat back then. Like, it was 50% of the people were farmers and stuff. And now it's 5%, 2% or something, but go farm again. Go.
Well, they were saying that a lot of their customers are actually farmers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And that they have to make the vehicles really detailed because the farmers will notice if there's a screw out of place on the.
That's machine. Like NFL players playing Madden, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's interesting to see, Focus has a large booth this year. Like, in the past, they've just had, a medium-sized booth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Farming Simulator money is paying for that.
I had no clue.
I figured you had no clue.
Right.
Why would you? I mean,
if you've seen it over E3 through the years, you've kind of seen it, grow. It was just a tractor at one point, in the corner of E3.
Yeah.
And then it's slowly gotten bigger.
Right, that's right, that's right. And now they have five or I don't know how many presentation rooms they had there.
I guess when I see Farming Simulator on sale, I'll post it and see if it gets retweets. If it doesn't again,
No, I mean, it could not be anything in our market whatsoever. Yeah, I just find it interesting that it's clearly something that people enjoy playing.
Yeah.
And you played that, truck simulator game. So
yeah, it's fun.
It's similar type of thing.
Or train simulator.
Yeah, it's the same story.
So they had that. They had another Warhammer Deathwing game, which was another one of those Warhammer...
Carter crawlers.
Shooters where you're closing up things. That way you don't get overrun with things.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are popular in Europe as well.
Could be, yeah.
And they had The Surge, which was the interesting one, I thought.
Okay.
The most interesting one, which was the RPG with the guy in the exosuit.
Right, where mostly melee combat.
Melee combat, and then you got to keep loot based upon which part of the body you hacked off at the end.
Right.
Of your enemies. Okay. So if you targeted and lopped off their head,
What game is this again?
It's called The Surge.
Okay.
It's one of these Eastern developed RPGs, but it looked fun. I liked the loot system. I don't know why you wouldn't just loot the whole body once you've lopped off the head. But
right, can't you just lop off the other parts and take them too?
That's all right. I'm okay with video games being video gamey.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So.
So that these are all pre-alpha.
And then what was the
Vampire?
Vampire. Yeah, Vampire. It had a cool idea behind it.
Right, didn't quite look vampire-y enough for me, the main character. I don't know why, but...
Maybe he hasn't powered up enough. He hasn't eaten enough people. Maybe. Like, the whole conceit was, like, you're in this living world, and you're investigating things, and you find out about the citizens in these areas, and then depending on whether you choose to kill them or not, it affects the town, and you're also a doctor. You're a doctor vampire.
People get sick, and you're trying to, like... make sure that the town doesn't get just totally devastated by you killing people and all the sicknesses right. that are going on.
It's also, it's made by the people who made Remember Me, if you remember that game, and Life is Strange. And Life is Strange is a really good game. You should definitely play it. I stopped by and talked to the guys, and they were really interested in what choice I made at the end of the game. And the reason why is he said people kept playing it over and over again, so the results page isn't really the true results. Like, they just want what
they want. The first result. They didn't quite program it.
Yeah.
Quite
right.
And that was it for Focus, I think. Yeah.
They have a lot more games, right. but that's the four that we saw. And then while we were seeing that, Thorbond was seeing Deus Ex.
Yeah, I saw Deus Ex. The graphics look like the old game, which is a 360 PS3 game. It looks kind of dated, but they added a lot of choices. There's a lot of paths and things like that. See, the way you might like to play in the old game, like, there are a lot more options to do it, and it looks fun. Like, I want to play it, but the only thing it has against it is, like I said last night, Sony showed some, like, holy, you know, wow games. And,
yeah. Deus Ex looked like Spartan. It was the style they were going for.
Yeah. Or like Rise of the Tomb Raider. Like, Rise of the Tomb Raider is a great game, but it's nothing that really wowed me visually on the Xbox One. No.
Rise of the Tomb Raider is one of the best looking games of this generation.
Okay. I don't know. Not for me, but all right.
Maybe your glasses were, like, fogged up.
Sure.
From the excitement. Or from the cold weather in the game.
Right? Yeah. But, yeah, and then I walked around and found, like, a bunch of, like, places that, you know, like, the booths were, like, they weren't that super populated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so...
Jump on
real quick. So I played Headlander, and it's, like, Metroid. It's a Metroid-type game made by Double Fine, and Adult Swim Games is publishing it. And there was this glitch last week where there was an Adult Swim collection on Amazon, and it was $23.99 if you had Amazon Prime, but that discount was a glitch or whatever, so I posted it. Adult Swim Games told me that was fake and take it down, please, and I complied because, you know, I trust them. And so what I thought was it was like an E3 leak of sorts, but I asked him, and he's like, no, we don't know where the hell that came from. Huh. So, like, I thought that was very interesting that somehow Amazon thought, like, it's, like, totally...
They just jumped the gun.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Like, they just manufactured it out of thin air, and I have it pre-ordered, and he told me some of the people have it pre-ordered at the Adult Swim offices, like, to see, like, if it ever something shows up, because
right.
it doesn't exist.
There's no retail.
Yeah. And then I went and saw Gravity Rush 2 because, like, Gravity Rush Remastered, I played that on PlayStation 4, and they did a really, like, I don't own a Vita, so, like, I was like, sure, I'll get it, and then I, you know, it's Amazon exclusive on disc, and I'm a collector, so I got it, and I really enjoyed it a lot, and Gravity Rush 2, like, they fixed a lot of the problems from Gravity Rush 1, like,
nobody buying it?
No. No, not...
Right.
Not that problem. The problems were, like, the tossing mechanism where you'd activate gravity and then toss things at creatures was kind of janky in the first game, but they totally fixed it. Specials, they totally fixed. The kicking mechanic, all the combat is way smoother and better, and then the graphics are, of course, way better because it was made for PS4.
Sure. I mean, before, it was built for Vita controls.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but. Yeah, it looks really good. I tried Cuphead, and that looks fun. It was a little... I kept dying, so it's a hard game.
Yeah, that's definitely a hard game. I remember that last year.
Yeah. And then I tried Slime Rancher, and Slime Rancher is a Harvest Moon first-person type game where you suck slimes, and then you have them eat stuff, and they poop money, and then you put the money in, and then you build stuff, and you keep collecting slimes, and it's like...
Is this Dragon Quest related, or is this?
No, it's an independent. It's an independent. It's going to be a games preview type thing. And then I checked out Song of the Deep, which is also another Metroid style game.
It's
but
the GameStop game, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the reason why I want to check it out, because it's worth $15, like digital, physical. It's definitely worth $15 for a physical copy.
Who's developing this again?
Insomniac.
Insomniac, that's right.
Yeah. So it looks pretty, you know, it's a budget title, but like it's mechanically it's Metroid, and it has a lot of Metroid type things, and there are jellyfish that sting you, and you know, you got to find the item A to unlock item B, and you know, fight, you know, Metroid.
Love item B.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically all I saw, and then I walked around and overheard some weird things, like the Gravity Rush. There was a lady cosplaying as Gravity Rush for Sony, and her handler was next to her, and she's like, just let me know if anybody gets a little too aggressive with you, you know, it's just here, I, you know, overhear weird things, but yeah, so it was fun first day.
They weren't talking about you, were they?
No.
He wouldn't bring it up then.
We looked at some of the retro stuff too. We saw the new Superboy S.
The Hyperkin stuff.
The Hyperkin. I don't know, Super Nintendo portable thing, and then the Game Boy one as well, where you put your iPhone into this Game Boy type.
The bottom of a Game Boy, basically.
Bottom of the Game Boy, like, so it has the buttons there, and then you put the cartridges of Game Boy and Game Boy Colors in a slot behind where your iPhone sits. It
looks a little weird and thick.
Right. They did it.
Yep.
I was more excited by 8-Bit Do. They are putting out Super Nintendo wireless dongles, like the Nintendo one that I already bought.
Yep, I posted on Twitter, and you bought them. So thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I.
That does happen, by the way. You keep doing that with Infinity stuff. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was excited to see that the Super Nintendo ones, and they said they'd be out in a couple months.
Cool.
Once he understood what I was saying.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we visited, what's the hall that was like pretty empty and breezy?
South Hall is pretty sad this year. They've moved a lot of stuff that was just in general walking areas before to kind of fill up.
Right, like a band.
Like, yeah, there's a band playing in there. They sound good.
Sure.
But it's just odd that there's an area where a band is playing. Like, they're one of those retro video game cover bands, Super Soul Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Inside the Pixel, which is, like,
the art show.
The art show. That's now in South Hall.
Shaq News has a booth.
Sure. Mm-hmm. T-Mobile has a booth. You can play Overwatch at the T-Mobile booth.
I'm going to do that.
There's a booth of giant domes.
Oh, Dome VR, I saw that, yeah.
But it's not VR.
It's a projection.
It's just, it's like, you go in these domes, and like, we went in the medium-sized one. I went in there with Chris Plant. And we sat down on the floor, and there's like, maybe six of projectors. Like the projector I have in my house. Mm-hmm. And they shoot them up at the ceiling of this dome that you're in. And it creates like one image of you're swimming in the ocean, or
they have that Museum of Natural History.
Yeah, why is that here?
I don't know. We got a good deal on the booth.
Right. It's like stuff like that. We went by the VR porn booth. It was packed.
It was so packed.
Oh, what?
That whole area where they have the little booths back there, they're all empty except the VR porn booth, and there's a huge fucking line that just takes up the whole area.
There was like three people at the 8-Bit Do booth.
Three, yeah, there was like 50 people at the porn booth.
And they're all just sitting there.
Butts to nuts, online.
And they're just sitting there like, yep, I am doing this. Yep. I am putting this VR on and watching porn here at E3.
Yes, yep. I may have to include that picture in this show art here. All right, well, I think that's it for our day one coverage. We're going to go to a couple parties tonight. And yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.